614. This is 1320 WILS, and it's Tuesday. And as we speak, a federal appeals court in San Francisco right now considering whether to reinstate President Trump's executive order banning immigrants from seven countries and refugees from Syria. Dr. Nick Oberheiden is with us, constitutional expert, a man who's a both an attorney and an author, holds a PhD in juris doctor. He's a juris doctor, I should say, from UCLA School of Law. Nick, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. What now? The case itself. How? Who has a stronger argument right now when it comes to President Trump's ban?
Well, first of all, if that makes anyone feel better, I have to say this case is now as complicated as constitutional law can possibly be. Mm-hmm. And to answer your question, it really depends. Tonight, we will see that the Ninth Court of Circuit Court of Appeals hears the argument from the government and from the state of Washington. Mm-hmm. In a couple of days, we should see an order from this Court of Appeals, and if unless something magically happens, I expect that the state of Washington wins, given the history of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals being more on the liberal side, if I may say that. And where do we go from here?
When you say it's complicated, what makes it so complicated?
Well, what really makes it so complicated is that there are so many different courts across the country involved. You know, it started in Boston, New York. We ended up discussing cases in Washington State. We are involved with temporary injunctions and temporary restraining orders at the Court of Appeals. So there's a lot going on.
Tell me this. Does a president, from what you understand, have the constitutional power to put a ban like this in place?
Well, I think we should all respect that the president and the Constitution grants the right, has a very broad authority to handle and regulate national security. He's the leader of the free world, and mm-hmm. I think this should be the starting point of the discussion. Now, when it comes to critics argue that the executive order may have been overbroad or some terms undefined, mm-hmm. That is something that the White House lawyers will have to address. And at this point in time in the legal proceeding, they have to be very factual. They can't just say we believe those seven countries are, but they have to substantiate how and why these seven countries were chosen. And some of this may touch national security and intelligence reports. And I will be surprised or very curious to see how much of this will transpire to the public at large.
So really, the court is going to be deciding on whether or not the justification for the countries he's chosen is appropriate?
You can put it this way. The court will probably say we decide if the president exceeded his constitutional authority by drafting or issuing this mm-hmm. executive order the way it has been. Just, you know, by way of constitutional history, there have been several executive orders as controversial as this one. Most importantly, the one in the 1950s under President Truman. And this, ironically, is now a very, very strong precedent that White House lawyers will use where ultimately the executive order was upheld in the Youngstown decision.
Yeah, just briefly, what was that executive order in the 50s then?
It was the president issued a seizure on certain steel factories and in the context of the Korean War. And this case went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court as well. However, at that time, there was no missing justice as we have here. So it was very important.
The court ruled in President Truman's favor?
Well, there were seven different opinions. Don't want to go into all the details,
right.
But the essence of the decision is that the president has very broad powers, mm-hmm. and there has to be a very compelling reason to question his authority to handle national security and national crisis situations.
It's moving quickly. How fast could this be then in front of the Supreme Court?
I think it really depends on how fast the nomination for the justice nominee will last. I think we will see an intentional delay. the new nominee is very important to get a conservative 5-4 majority, and I think the nomination process will greatly be about this executive order.
Okay. I mean, it seems like a way to basically stop any executive order the president has, just challenge it in court and let it get hung up in the court system. Is that a pattern you think we'll see moving forward?
Yes, I think at this point we will see more executive orders being challenged than before because there is a greater alert and people will look more closely what the executive order says and how it's written. So I think you're right. We will see more constitutional litigation over executive orders.
Mm-hmm. Are you surprised that the courts, is this something, are the courts somehow obligated or obliged to take these challenges when they come, or?
Yes, they have to rule if the plaintiff, so to speak, has standing, which some critics said they don't even have standing to bring the case because it's a political question, not a legal question. But assuming they have standing, the Washington State, for example, then yes, the judge has to comment and rule on whatever is being brought to a U.S. district.
Do you agree, though, that the standing isn't there, that it is a political issue, not legal?
You see, it's really in between, and we have seen political questions being denied for hearings at the U.S. Supreme Court, and that is certainly the threshold issue that the U.S. Supreme Court should address. Is it a legal or is it a political question?
Really? So if the U.S. Supreme Court says it's political, doesn't address it, was the appeals court
then
the final?
If the Court of Appeals says it's unlawful or unconstitutional and the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't take it, that's the end of the story.
Interesting. Okay. And do you think that's what we'll end up seeing?
No, I really think this executive order will ultimately end up at the U.S. Supreme Court, and the question is, will it be addressed by 8 or 9 justices? So timing of the nomination is really of critical importance.
Yeah, I mean, is there any pressure for the Supreme Court to take this up immediately? Any chance that'll happen? Or?
No, just the legal process itself will take several weeks, if not months. So I think this will last into April, May, if not longer.
Dr. Nick Oberheiden, constitutional expert, right here on 1320 WILS. Dr. Oberheiden, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.